If you follow any kind of parenting philosophy, if you've ever read a parenting book or taken a parenting course, or if you just scroll on Instagram or TikTok with parenting memes and advice, then you get the idea that there are right and wrong ways to parent, and that there are very specific scripts that you need to follow in order to be a good parent. Now, there are right and wrong ways to parent. However, I think this has gotten a little out of hand, and I want to just bring you back gently, nudge you back into sanity if you have gone too far with this, if you have been swept up in this parenting trend. I'm going to talk about exactly what I mean and how we can all just calm the farm right here on this episode. I hope this leaves you feeling uplifted and empowered. This is Hi Fam. I'm Avital. So look, first I want to say I named my business The Parenting Junkie in the early days. Why? Because I was certainly, and still am, pretty obsessed with reading parenting books and actually really gathering all the information I could, researching and learning and taking courses. And I'm the last person on earth to be preaching about, you know, just relax, just do it by your intuition, just parent by instinct, because that's not what I've done. I've studied pretty hard and made my entire career around coaching parents. And so it's not that I disagree with any of the things that you might learn in these methods, but one of the things that I want to point out in today's podcast is the culmination and the kind of compound effect of what can happen to us when we read and learn and expose ourselves to too much. So I'll give you an example. If you are renovating a house and you go on Pinterest, right? You need to make your Pinterest board, right? So that you get all your ideas of what your taste is, what's your color palette, what textures and materials do you want to use? And Pinterest can be really useful for this. It's amazing. It's going to expose you to all sorts of ideas. It's going to help you to literally kind of pick and choose and edit together your look and feel, your mood board. And that will give you guidance and direction as you renovate the house. However, if you continue looking at Pinterest a little bit obsessively, perhaps, throughout that renovation, when you've already made choices, when the walls are going up, when the cupboards are going in, it can start to feel like there are so many other things you should have thought about, things that are outside of your budget, things that are beautiful ideas and solutions that maybe you can't implement. Maybe they're not of relevance to you. And what can start to happen is this feeling that you are constantly in FOMO, that you're constantly not being able to grasp all the ideas or to get all the cool hacks and tricks and furnishes that need to be to make this house perfect. And if you're even a tiny bit perfectionist, that can drive you a little bit psycho. And it can actually really halt the process. It can slow you down. It can make you miserable because you constantly feel like you're behind, like you're not getting exactly every detail that you want. And it's hard to live that way. Now, I think we as parents have a little bit gone over to the dark side when it comes to this kind of thing. And what I'm talking about is an effect that I think happens to us when we watch too many shorts of, you know, parenting experts and gurus and teachers, etc., when we listen to too many pieces of advice, and we can become what I call a little bit robotic, right? I want to talk about robotic parenting. And the reason I call it robotic is that we're kind of trying to program ourselves and deprogram ourselves to be really adherent to the scripts, right? To the right and the wrong way of talking. And this is also, you know, perpetuated by social media, because on social media, they'll be like, here's the wrong way of doing it. Here's the right way of doing it. It's all very kind of polarized and black and white scripted, right? It's very unnatural. Now, the truth is that how we parent naturally might not be super positive. I mean, if you were brought up with very authoritarian parents, and you might be likely to go in that direction yourself and be very punitive or very cold or harsh or judgmental or critical. No, we want to be our kids' person. We want to be there for them. We want to be in their corner. We want to love them and have that warmth. And if we were raised by very permissive parents, we might have a lot of trouble setting boundaries. And we want to give that firm guiding hand, those high standards and high expectations. So what comes naturally to me might be yelling uncontrollably. It might be just giving up and scrolling on my phone all day. It might be a lot of things that aren't necessarily ideal or the way we want to parent. And so I'm not suggesting that we don't work to improve ourselves, that we don't learn some good scripts, that we don't read some good books, that we don't, engage in self-growth. That's not my suggestion at all. That's not how I live. And I think it's not useful to just default and to just parent on automatic. But I also think that there is precipice on the other side of this, right? The spectrum can go too far in the other direction. There is such a thing as being too controlled. It's kind of got this kind of Botox-like effect where we freeze our facial expressions, where we are so regulated and so controlled and so scripted that we're never just natural. We're never just natural in our response. And it's interesting because having a natural response, being human, being imperfect, being flawed, being instinctive and intuitive sometimes, I think is really necessary for creating a meaningful relationship. When things feel very forced, very frozen, very controlled, you know, to a fault, I think that that too isn't great for us. It doesn't feel good. It's exhausting. It's depleting, but it's also very kind of distancing. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't connect with people who are that plastic, that controlled, that perfect. You don't ever just kind of let loose or just say what they really think or just express their feelings in a more authentic way. If you're too authentic, it might be a problem because, like, dude, deal with your temper or whatever. But if you're too inauthentic, it's also a problem, right? Because you become distant and you become unnatural. Now, it's also a problem in terms of our parenting, because I see a lot of parenting advice out there that suggests that we should control ourselves, we should regulate ourselves, we need to calm down, we need to connect before we correct, and we need to regulate ourselves before we enter the situation, and you know, all of the different rules that there are for gentle parenting, and they're all good rules, right? But they also take out that human element of, for example, if you annoy me, I might get annoyed. That's kind of a natural consequence of behaving in an annoying way. And when I watch parent coaches and gurus and experts and PhDs, et cetera, continuously telling parents to not get annoyed, to not say that's annoying, or to not be like, oh, can you stop it? Or just quit whining, cut it out. Those are all on the no list. Those are all things you're not allowed to say. Then I start to feel like, how is this child ever going to learn that if you're disruptive, people feel disrupted? That if you're irritating, people get irritated? That it's not a good idea to whine because people are going to be like, stop it. They don't like that. It grates on their eardrums. You know, I wonder when this advice kind of burns out, when it's just too much. You know, and I think it's just worth considering for us as parents, I certainly consider this, that it needs to be taken with a grain of salt. It can't be taken to the extreme because you become so robotic that you also neutralize really important human feedback loops. And I know this because we're mammals. And if you observe mother mammals in nature, you see that they have very instinctive and intuitive feedback loops to educate and discipline their children. Right? They tell them, cut it out, knock that off, stop it, get off, right? They tell them that with their body language, with their growls, with their grunts, and they're very clear when they like or dislike something, right? They'll kind of snap at their child or brush their child off or bark at their child. And it's telling, actually, it's informative to notice that that's a natural instinct that we parents are endowed with. And yeah, we can go too far. We can be too scary or too aggressive. Or as I said, I think self-growth is good. I think self-regulation is good. I think peaceful communication, nonviolent communication, all of that is great. Like, it is great. Really, it's great. I try to practice it for sure. But also, I'm a human. And also, sometimes I'm going to lose my temper a bit, or I'm going to raise my voice a bit, or I'm going to get really irritated. And it's going to be, hopefully, in accordance with the infraction. Like, it might also be influenced by how exhausted I happen to be that day, or how on edge I am, or how much bad news I've heard. But also, if you're really annoying or really disruptive or really disrespectful, I'm going to get really annoyed sometimes. Is it wise for us to unlink our natural emotional reactions to these things so that our kids can wreak whatever havoc they want? They can cause whatever mayhem they want, and we will always maintain a Buddha-like self-control and calm. We will always exude love and acceptance and tolerance, even as we're firmly setting the limit. Is that wise? Or are our children kind of receiving a masked parenting? It kind of reminds me of the concerns that were very real about children not learning about facial expressions because all the adults were masked during the pandemic, and the sense that, you know, they're going to be missing out on a massive chunk of human development if they can't read facial cues. And in a way, I feel like, okay, maybe the masks are off, but in some ways, they're still on. We're still behaving in a masked way, and they're still missing very important developmental human cues because we're being so controlled and robotic, because it's so unnatural to plaster a big smile on your face and be like, oh, Jimmy, sweetie, are you feeling tired? Is that why you whacked your sister across the face? I understand. Let me empathize. We don't hit. We use our hands gently. We use our words, right? There's something very robotic about all of that. It's like, no, don't hit your sister. Absolutely not. That's unacceptable. Come over here, right? Like, where is the urgency in the voice? Where is the normal human reaction to violence or disrespect? I want to just float the question here because I'm not sure it's wise to offer our children a sterilized environment. I think it might be paralyzing them. I think they might think that this is normal human patience levels, right? These kind of ninja levels of patience that my parents are, you know, forcing themselves and kind of getting all of their strength to exercise these superhuman levels of patience and acceptance and tolerance might just be cemented in their minds as the norm or as what they should expect from adults in their lives or from people in their lives. And won't it be confronting and surprising for them when they realize that not everybody is going to plaster a smile on their face and fix themselves with sweet eyes and sing-song tones and be ever so empathic and tolerant and launch into a long and slow lecture about feelings and naming it to tame it and connecting before they correct and make sure to redirect them and making sure to give them a lot of positivity and love and time ins and all of this stuff? Is it not maybe going overboard in terms of building a fragile and unrealistic expectation in them? Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting we should treat our children cruelly. I'm not for a moment suggesting that we should toughen them up now so that they can face the real world. I'm not for a moment suggesting that just because some people out there are going to be mean to them, we should be mean to them, okay? Don't take my words to the extreme either. What I'm suggesting is that we don't need to be robots. And that you should never practice purely natural consequences if you're going to behave in unnatural ways. A big dictate of the kind of gentle parenting sphere is using primarily natural consequences, which means that we don't ever interfere with even logical consequences by taking things away, right? Consequences, honestly, they're a bit of a euphemism for punishments, right? And we're saying, well, I'm never going to inflict a punishment, but if punishment happens, you know, like an act of God, then I'm going to let it happen and the child will learn. So if the child, I tell them to wear a coat, they don't wear a coat, and then the punishment that happens naturally is that they are cold, then cool, I'll let them learn from that, right? And that's, I think, the norm amongst a lot of the gentle parenting world, which is fine. I think natural consequences are useful, and I think they should be the bulk of how we learn. You know, I don't believe in big coercion or in lots of rewards and punishments, but I do think that there are sometimes logical consequences. And I do also think that sometimes we need to use a little bit of Skinnerism and behaviorism, right, to moderate bad behaviors, even if it means a bit of coercion, even if it means using carrots and sticks, because ultimately children that engage in bad behaviors over a period of time, it's bad for them and it's bad for the people around them, right? What initially is just, you know, a little bit of bad behavior can, with time, become a character trait if it's not treated. And that's not good. We do need to moderate bad behaviors. Okay, but fine. You only want to use natural consequences. Fine. Okay. Let's say. In that case, you're going to have to, at the very least, use natural reactions to those bad behaviors as well. How on earth is the child going to learn otherwise? How on earth are they going to learn? How are they going to know that being annoying annoys people? You know? What is going to teach them that if you don't tell them that's annoying? If you don't show them on your face that this is upsetting? We'll be right back to the show, but first, let me tell you about the studio. And if you're listening to this live, it might just be coming up. So the studio is my annual online membership where I help you to build a strong family culture. Inside of the studio, you get the leadership curriculum, which takes you month by month covering every single aspect of building a home life, building a family culture, building a community, and building your values and vision and internal culture for your family. We talk about traditions, rites, rituals, routines. We talk about friendship and family. We talk about teamwork and bonding and coaching and so many good things. But that's not all. There is so much more inside of the studio. Every single month, we get together for a deep dive breakthrough session where we bust myths and when we really get clarity on the key issues that are driving our parenting. Things like working together as a team. Things like raising kids who are likable and who can make friends easily. Things like helping siblings with their rivalry. Inside of the studio, you also, of course, are deeply connected in an incredible community of like-minded parents. This is a community that offers the benefit of the doubt, where each one of us is driven to build a strong family and to stand up to cultural dictates that are threatening our family cohesion. We are there to help you raise resilient kids who can withstand really bad ideas, who have a backbone and broad shoulders, a broad smile and a tender heart. We're there to help you offset the influences of porn addiction and hookup culture, of screen addiction, of social media pressures, of the trends of self-harm. We're here to help you to reclaim what is yours, authority and leadership, clarity, confidence and direction as the parent of your child. If all of that sounds good to you, then make sure to check out hifam.com/studio. Registration happens only once a year, and I would be honored to guide you in building a strong family. See you on the inside. Let's get back to the show. I want to illustrate this point with a question that I saw come in on a different group, not on my own group. And this is what the mom writes. She says, "Deep feeling kids help." And I just want you to notice that there's this concept of this deep feeling kid. And it kind of goes along with our general cultural trend that we need to label everything, that everything needs to have some kind of diagnostic quality. Like, don't we all sometimes feel deeply? Is that a label that we really need to slap on kids? I'm really not sure that that's helpful. Anyway, she goes on. "This tired mama needs help. We have three kids and our youngest, who is 4.5, he's a boy, is challenging every single ounce of my patience. We gentle parent. However, our kids learn that their actions have consequences. Natural consequences, that is. Well, we are at a loss with how to help our 4-year-old. He's definitely a kid with big feelings, positive and negative. Lately, he has been challenging us by using inappropriate language, hitting, kicking, telling teachers at school no, saying mean things to classmates, etc. Basically, it just feels like he's angry all the time. The frustrating part is that he's extremely smart, very articulate, and also comfortable sharing his feelings and speaking up for himself. So I know it's not a language barrier or him learning how to articulate his feelings. I guess my question is, should we seek help from a family therapist? Thanks, mamas." Okay, so I could do 7 different podcast episodes about this post alone. And I think it's worth lingering on all sorts of questions here, including the final question, which is the only next step to seek help from a therapist? Is this a medicalized problem, right? That tendency to pathologize our kids and to seek therapy for normal behaviors, for common behaviors, but undesired behaviors, is a cultural question we should be asking ourselves. Why are we using heavy-handed intervention for basic parenting, challenges? And it is heavy-handed intervention. And if you want to learn why that is, then I highly recommend Abigail Schreier's book, Bad Therapy, where she really outlines that there is risk to therapy and it's not the be-all, end-all. But that is a topic for another episode. I want to come back to the idea that this child is behaving in really antisocial behaviors, in really bad behaviors. Now, they're very common for a 4.5-year-old boy. Perfectly common. My children have done all of these things too, right? Using inappropriate language, hitting, kicking, telling teachers at school no, saying mean things to classmates. I mean, these are things that we really don't want a 4.5-year-old to be dealing with anymore. This is a time to crack down on this. But the parent feels completely at a loss of how to crack down. And it's because of this kind of robotic parenting, like, well, we gentle parent. Now, I think that's a misread of what gentle parenting should be, because I think gentle parenting actually does include firm empathic limits. But her interpretation of it, because of whatever she's watching and reading, is that they can only use natural consequences. Well, what are the natural consequences for hitting, kicking, yelling no to figures of authority, saying mean things to classmates? What are the natural consequences? Well, the natural consequences, if you were behaving naturally, is that people would get really annoyed with you and they would ask you to leave the room or to not participate or to apologize or to pull yourself together or to knock it off. And they would tell you that's inappropriate. And they would tell you it's not okay to hit and kick. You cannot join us if you can't treat each other with respect. And they would tell you it's not acceptable to yell no at a teacher. And if you're mean to your classmates, they will not want to play with you. There are natural consequences. These are all natural consequences if you behave naturally. But it's unnatural to just accept it or to just say, oh, I don't know, maybe he just has big feelings. Yeah. Everyone has big feelings, and then you have to control those big feelings and you have to regulate yourself, and you're still expected to behave like a human. You're still expected basic decency and not to be violent, right? If you're behaving like a wildebeest, expect to be treated like one. I know that sounds very harsh, and all the gentle parenting is pricking up and being like, ah, stop talking like that. That's not empathic. But no, the answer to bad behavior isn't more and more empathy. Empathy is just step number one. Step number one, hey, I can see you having a hard time. Okay, a little bit of empathy, fine. Offer him a little hug, that's okay. I don't mind it, I like it. Empathy is good. It's only step number one. Where's step number two? Where you set the limit and you follow through. I teach this in my course, Empathic Limits. It's empathic and limits. But this mother doesn't want to set any limits. She only wants natural consequences, okay? I disagree with her. I think you need logical consequences too. But, okay, you don't want to set a logical consequence that, dude, if you can't follow the rules, you can't be in the group. If you can't stop hurting people, you'll need to wait outside. If you're disrespectful to teachers, they're going to get angry with you. There are going to be some kind of logical consequence to that. Like you have to write a sorry letter. If you're using inappropriate language, you're going to be asked to leave the room. I mean, don't we all have these natural consequences, logical consequences in our adult lives? What is the natural consequence of being rude to your boss? How about that you apologize? What is the natural consequence of hurting a colleague? Well, you probably get fired. But at the very least, you're going to get told off. You're going to get suspended, whatever. You know, something's going to happen. If you don't follow the rules of pro-social normal behavior, then something's going to happen, and it should. And what needs to happen is not that you get sent to talk through your feelings to an empathic therapist who, you know, further embeds and enlarges this label of deep feeling kid, but rather that you instead learn to control yourself and regulate yourself as every human being in society is expected to do. And this mother doesn't seem to expect him to do it at all. And that's that robotic piece that I'm talking about. It's both permissive and unrealistic and a lot of things, but it's also very robotic. There are natural consequences to treating people badly. And they do come out if you aren't constantly over-regulating yourself and over-empathizing and plastering on a sweet smile and singing in a sing-song tone to your child who is behaving out of control. And frankly, it's unfair on the people around him. It's unfair on his teachers. It's unfair on the other kids. It's unfair on his siblings. It's unfair on him. This child is begging for a boundary, is begging for an expectation, is begging for a limit and a consequence. And the mother is so caught up, so frozen in place that she has to write this question. And then her only solution is, well, she says, I guess what I'm asking is, should we get a family therapist? No, I guess what I'm asking is, how do I discipline my child? How do I offer him boundaries and limits? How do I help him to regulate his emotions, control himself, and make better choices? That would be a better question for you. It might be very common that kids behave this way. It might be totally developmentally normal, but it's not desirable. It's something they need to be shaped out of, right? I think he's really deeply waiting to know who is in charge. Am I in charge as a four-year-old, which is scary and pretty awful for a kid? Or are you going to take charge? Are you going to set a limit here? Or are you so fixated on the scripts and on the Instagram reels and on the TikToks that you think you need to just be soft, soft, soft and not say anything and not be clear, and that you need professional help? You don't need professional help. You need to reconnect with your sense of authority. You need to be a leader. You need to offer this child expectations and limits. I would recommend some logical consequences as well. But if it's natural consequences that you're after, at least don't be robotic. That's unnatural. When a child behaves in an unacceptable way, we as their parents are the proxy for society that is there to tell them it's not going to be acceptable. It's not going to be accepted and tolerated by others. There's no reason for you to tolerate it if you think others wouldn't. And tolerating it with extra, you know, dollops of empathy is not doing your child a service. It's not loving. It's not kind. It's not empathic. It's setting him up for failure. It's setting him up to think that people will smile sweetly at him as he causes mayhem, as he's destructive and violent, as he's rude and obnoxious. And they won't, and they shouldn't, and neither should you. I hope this was helpful. Don't be a robot. You have good instincts and good intuition and facial expressions. Let your child see them. Don't feel guilty like you're damaging your child when you sometimes bark at them a little bit or raise your voice or snap or say, ugh, that's annoying. They need to see that. They need to learn that. If they don't learn it from you, who are they going to learn it from? You don't want your child to grow up to be annoying to others. 4.5 is exactly the age where it's already something we've got to buckle down on and get clear about. Because a 4.5-year-old is at the age where they need to start to learn to make friends soon, right? When they need to be acceptable to other adults, to teachers, to neighbors, etc. Don't do your child the disservice of never getting annoyed. Keep on living that high fam life, and I'll see you in the next episode.